You know, it's funny, my friend Father Crowley, who's visiting with us and joining us in the celebration this morning, I said to him, I'm so distracted, I've got to get my head together for the homily. And he said, it's the easiest homily in the world. You wouldn't have to work at this one. And having heard the scripture reading, you see why he said that. Jesus says it's all about love. Love God with all you've got and love one another as you love yourselves. In a sense, it's the easiest and then again the most difficult homily, because it seems at once so obvious, so clear, so simple, and yet, in truth, we're all struggling day after day, week after week, and year after year to make that real to us. And in truth, probably just about everybody here feels frustrated and says, I think I understand it, but I'm not sure yet I know how to do it and to live it. I said at the beginning that this is a liturgy in which we lay down the law. God lays down the law. Yahweh speaks to Israel. And then Jesus expresses it in his very person as well as his words, sums it all up, given the opportunity to recite from memory, you might say, all the seemingly infinite detail of the Old Testament. He chooses just to say this. You want to know what the law is? Love God with your whole mind and heart and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says that takes care of it. It struck me a few days ago, and I mean to say this with all due reverence, what an ironic thing it was that happened in Madrid. We are all, I trust, sharing the hopes, the nervous hopes of people throughout the world that some kind of real peace will emerge in the Middle East between the Arabs and the Israelis, that some kind of genuine peace will emerge from these dramatic historic moments of old enemies actually, however, tentatively and nervously coming together in one place. And the ironic thing that struck me as I was, you might say, nurturing these scripture readings, moving toward this homily, was to hear that the Prime Minister got up and spoke his piece and then walked out to be back in the holy place for the Sabbath. And I thought, what an interesting thing to have happen. I am sure I would offend deeply religious and practicing Jews if I even hinted at what I'm about to say. It is a shame that the Prime Minister didn't realize God is where people are, trying to love one another and capture the gift of peace. I do not mean to mock him. I do not mean in any way to denigrate him. I think we give him at least the benefit of the doubt that in his own heart he believed that was what God wanted of him, because it is part and parcel of the Jewish faith, at least as I understand it to this day, to feel constrained by more laws, rules, and regulations than most adherents of the faith could ever count. Things are not really all that different, you might say, among the chosen people than they were in the day when Jesus had to go around and saying, now why did you do that? Why'd you make that person feel guilty instead of giving that person love? Okay, he or she made a mistake, but your role, he said to the religious leaders, is to keep bringing them back to love. Why do you get worked up because my apostles, violating some old prescription, pluck the grain from the field on the Sabbath? Isn't it more important that the people be nourished and thus be more open and ready to hear the word? Over and over again, he scolded people, even used his strongest language, some pretty dramatic epithets, at the religious leaders who kept retreating to the security of what seems like almost infinite law and prescription. And Jesus said, if only you would believe it, that all laws, all rules, all regulations simply dissolve in the context of real human beings genuinely trying to find God in one another. And if I, in a loving way, criticize our Jewish sisters and brothers, and especially their religious teachers, hoping God will give the grace that more of the people of that faith and the other faiths that are represented in these tenuous deliberations in the Middle East, it would be less than honest if I did not say we have our own share of foolishness, our own historic sins in the same context. Whenever in your life, except maybe here, did you ever hear a Catholic priest say that on a particular Sunday, God's will for you with a neighbor in need would almost certainly be, forget about Mass, go to the person in need and do something in this crisis? Does that sound familiar? Is that part of the old teaching that we all grew up on? If it was, I must have missed some Sundays when they were saying it. We ourselves are brought up, sometimes tested in the authenticity of our faith by the measure in which we can prove we've memorized the rules and regulations. Jesus would have none of it. Just think of all he could have said, remembering all those pages in the Old Testament in which God's law was spelled out by religious leaders, touching on everything from clothing to food to permitted or forbidden hours of travel, and on and on and on, and Jesus swept it all aside. He said, just love God with all you got. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Dare to lay down the law. Any law, every law, whether seemingly divine or clearly human, that gets in the way of you loving God as much as you can with all your power, and denounce and refuse to obey any law which in its observance would cause people to be fractured in their relationships, to be set apart instead of being called together. It's that dramatic. As I think about this, I remember past years when I've preached on the same gospel, and I remember what I might, perhaps even by coloring my imagination, I remember when it seemed like it might have been one of my best homilies some years ago when I took the words of this gospel and I said, you see the challenge Jesus puts to us. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I asked myself, how much do I love me? And I got a great reaction from the people, and I said, why I love me so much, I spend 24 hours a day taking care of me. I love me so much, I forgive myself my faults before I've fully planned how to commit them. I love me so much, I have never grown tired of worrying about me and seeing to it that I'm comfortable. I spend tremendous amount of energies trying to win other people's approval, trying to look good in front of others. I love me so much, I just couldn't even tell you. And I don't mind telling you now, I thought of even kind of retreading that one for this morning. And then I realized there was something wrong with it. There's something missing in that approach, because then I stop and look at people. When I think about my relationships with you, God's people, and others I meet day in and day out, so many coming to me hoping that because of my profession and my pastorate that I'll represent somehow or other a solution to their problems, I realize one of our biggest problems is we don't love me enough. That it's not enough to say to somebody teasingly like that, just look at how much you love yourself and then love your neighbor that much, because more and more, I think as a society becomes ever more clear to us, we don't love ourselves. A lot of us have really serious problems with loving ourselves. Psychiatrists and psychologists are kept busy using all their gifts and all their talents, they'll never be out of work, unless, of course, their fees get so high that people just have to give in to their depression and despair because they can't afford them. But we are in a world and in a society where people are all mixed up inside and don't love themselves. And so it's not that easy. It isn't that simple. You can't just say, look how much energy you spend on you, and then match it for your neighbor. Because a lot of the energy we spend, a lot of the attempt at loving that we direct at ourselves, we feel frustrated and unfulfilled after it's all said and done. But I think the secret, I think the key to solving that monumental problem is right here in today's liturgy. The scripture tells us that we are all children of the one God, as God was revealed to our Hebrew parents of old. And the scripture tells us that this God self-identifies not as power, not as retribution, not as judge, but this one God revealed to the Jews in the desert of old, still revealing self to the world today, this God is love. Not is loving, is love. Not forgives, but is forgiveness. Not is compassionate, but is compassion. And it is of this God that Jesus speaks. And it makes so much sense to accept Jesus, the Word, at his word when he says, love God with all you got. How could you help but at least want to love God with your whole being if God is love, compassion, tenderness, forgiveness, caring beyond any and all measures? You see, we have not yet as a people, I believe, come to believe in that mind-boggling truth. We are still being distracted. We are still being drawn back by lawmakers, lawgivers, and law enforcers who keep in countless ways telling us this loving God will love you if only you would thus and so. And the scandalous word of Jesus is, nope, it's not true. God loves you as you are. God loves you so much, you silly little wretch, that God could not be content to pour out the glory of creation and give it to you, undeserved. After all of that, God had to send his word to get into your skin, to be in your body, to be at one with you in your worries and your frustrations and your anxieties, as well as in your simple joys and celebrations, in your longings and in your loving. In Jesus, Almighty God, the one and only, who canceled out every other notion or concept of God, this one and only God said, I am love. And let my love speak in the very person of Jesus in you as you are. It's too much to believe, isn't it? Too much to believe. We want to believe it. We love to hear a homily with that message. But in our humanity and our foolishness, for some of us within the hour, for others, before night has fallen, and for most of us, by tomorrow morning, we say, by God, if only I could believe it. If only I could stop being obsessed and possessed by my human weakness, my faults, and my failings. I said it before, I say it again. No matter how dramatically you try to tell this good news to people, So often, as a priest, you hear them say back to you, "Oh, I wish it were true." Well, I'll pray and hope that that will be so for me. And you want to stamp your feet and wave your arms and say, "Silly people, you little fool. I know it's mind-boggling. I know it's more than you dared dream for, but it is the truth. This is the reality. God is love, and you are loved as you are. If only you would realize that you don't have to clean up your act or straighten out your record or observe some more rules and regulations. God takes you as you are and loves you. If only you could believe that, then maybe you'd be set free to love other people as you love yourself." It's that kind of unconditioned love you must have for you so that you may love other people in that spirit. Don't waste one more minute. Don't let another hour be consumed trying to get to be lovable in the eyes of God. You are. You're priceless. You're precious. You're beautiful. You are loved by God as you are. Trust in God's love and laugh in the face of those who say, "You could be lovable. You could be okay. You could be great, if only." Tell yourself over and over again, "God loves me right now as I am. And therefore, I'm free to stop worrying about me. And I could give all my energy towards sharing that good news with others, giving God's love to other people who may be even more spaced out than I am, who are finding it even more difficult than I do to believe in such a God." Ask the rabbis. They'll tell you which animals you may eat and which you may not. Ask the gurus of other religions, and they'll tell you how you must dress and what you must keep covered up. Ask the Catholic priests, and they'll tell you about the precepts of the church, and check to see if you've memorized the commandments. But ask Jesus, and all he'll say is, "Love the Lord in gratitude. The Lord who loves you, silly little person that you are, as you are. In return, love the Lord with your whole being. And then, love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, not I. Jesus says, that sums it up. There it is. That's all there is. And that's everything.